Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the epistle lesson, as you have heard read from the book of 1 Peter. And our theme this morning, the Christian's glorious suffering. Please be seated. Oh, I know what you're thinking. Glorious suffering. Glorious suffering. Oxymoron. I love that word, oxymoron. It's a very interesting word. Yet, do you know what an oxymoron is? It's the combination of an adjective preceded by a noun that has a different meaning. For instance, and this is for all of our teenagers, rap music, oxymoron. This one used to make me really, really mad, but now I understand it. Military intelligence. How about this one? And this is one that you probably use and I hear all the time. Well, that's pretty ugly. Pretty ugly? It can't be pretty and ugly at the same time. Oxymoron. Today, Peter writes for us in the epistle lesson, and it seems that Peter is explaining the epistle to us and explaining the importance of Christian suffering by using an oxymoron. And what Peter is trying to explain to us is the pairing of glory with suffering. And we see Jesus doing the same in his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. Glory and suffering. It seems to us that they both don't go together very well. But your Lord, our Savior, by His grace, has an answer for us. It is He and only He who preserves you, even as you die physically, and yes, we will all die physically. Yet, because of what Jesus has done for us there at the font, here at the altar, here in the preached word, in our faith, we will never, ever die spiritually. The fact is, dear ones, you and I will face persecution in this life. That's really the subject of Peter's portion of his epistle this morning. And because of this persecution, we will endure glorious suffering. We face persecution in many different ways. And we endure persecution from many different people. All of this because of the evil one. But we should not view persecution as something strange or out of place for us. Again, the fact is, since we are Christians, as your children just heard, people will point their finger at us. They'll laugh and make fun of us. They will mock us. They will persecute us each and every day. By the way, this is normal for the church. Yes, it's normal for the church. Please remember, right after Jesus ascended, the persecutions began. And Jesus himself, by the way, was persecuted as he was nailed to a cross for you and for me and for the sins of the whole world. But it's normal for the church to endure persecution. The Roman Empire did it for 260 years. After the Roman Empire fell, and by the way, Christianity became the legal religion of the Roman Empire before the fall. Doesn't sound right, but it's true. But after the Roman Empire fell, then Christians began to persecute Christians. The great persecutions of the 4th, 5th, and 6th century. And today we know that there are modern persecutions. Most of you, maybe you don't remember the Ottoman Empire. Some of you remember Nazi Germany. Most of us remember the Soviet Union. All of us know now North Korea, and then a majority of Muslim nations. They all persecute Christians. As a matter of fact, Christianity is illegal. Yet, dear ones, Peter reveals to us that we have no excuse. We have no excuse for not being prepared. We have no excuse for not being ready for this persecution. Peter warns us. Jesus even warns us. Jesus says, "If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you." We just saw this in the example with the kids. If you're part of the world, we shake up the jar and it's all mixed up and it's all the same color. Well, the world will love you then. But when we set the jar down and it separates and we see who the true Christian really is, then the world will hate you. Jesus continues by saying, "Remember the word that I have said to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." But some say, some even in the church today say, "Why, the church in the United States, persecution of Christians in the United States, that can never happen." Really? How about this? The press, many politicians, and maybe even some of your neighbors, they mock you because you stand against abortion. Not only that, they attempt to take away your right of speech. They want you to be silent. They don't want you to protest. They don't want you to speak out. Then, even in the church, you are mocked because you stand up and you oppose same-sex marriage. Believing in the 6 days of creation. Believing in the miracles of the Bible. The virgin birth of Jesus. His death and his resurrection. All of these are fables, they tell you. It's not really true. And you say that you're not persecuted? Yet Peter tells us, we should not see these things as strange. Rather, yes, they actually come into our lives because God allows such persecution, because God allows such suffering to happen to you and to me. Why? Peter tells us that persecution, suffering is allowed in order to test you. Testing. The sense is that trials, persecution, suffering is used by God to test your faith and also to purify you. As a goldsmith will constantly fire the gold and pull it out and pour off the dross, pour off the impurities, stick it back in the fire again and pull it back out and pour off the impurities. God does the same. He sticks us in those fiery trials. For Jesus is always working, dear ones, always working in your lives to purify your heart and to purify your minds. So therefore, we are encouraged. We are told that we must stand firm, that we must humble ourselves. And as we do this, we share in your Lord's Savior, in your Lord and your Savior's life and his death. And his suffering and his persecutions. Yes, you will suffer in this life, no doubt about it. Jesus has told you that you will be persecuted. And you may even die for the name of Jesus Christ. Yet this is your fellowship with the Lord. And this happens because you are constantly being perfected. And this is God's will. For in the end, you will be justified. Just as your children heard that in the end they will be justified as long as we stand firm and as long as we humble ourselves and as long as we resist the temptations of the evil one. Because Peter tells us that the evil one is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. This again is part of our purification. This suffering in your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear ones, is of the highest honor. You are suffering because of Jesus. You are suffering because of the name of Jesus. There is no higher honor to suffer for your King, to suffer for your Savior, to suffer for God Himself. This is a cause for the deepest of rejoicing. Yes, it may be difficult now, but rejoice in your persecution. Rejoice in your suffering, for in the end, you will be justified. Yet the devil comes, and he slides up to you, and he lies to you. He tells you that all these fiery trials that God is bringing into your life is because God hates you. God doesn't really care about you. He says He's for you, but He's not really for you. After all, this has happened to you, hasn't it? He's seeking whom He may devour. You see, Satan wants you to reject. He wants you to reject God's purification. He wants you to blame God for all the problems of your life. He wants you to blame God for all of your persecution, for all of your suffering. He wants you to point the finger at God and say, God, this is your fault. And because it's your fault, I'm no longer a Christian. I'm going to live in the world and be of the world. That's what Satan wants. And you would do well to remember, loved ones, that the devil, yes, he is a roaring lion, but he is a toothless lion. He is one who tricks you by his lies. He is toothless. He is toothless because he has no power over you. He can really not harm you or hurt you in any way. For you see, this toothless lion, he's been defeated. He's been broken. He's been judged. When Jesus cried out, "It is finished," Satan is finished. But he's such a liar and a murderer from the beginning that he wants you to believe his lies. He wants to murder your faith. And he doesn't want you to be in heaven with your Lord and Savior. He prefers that you're in hell with him, for he knows that's his ultimate fate. Yes, the lion will roar. And if you will, we can say this: his roar is worse than his bite, since he is a toothless lion. My dear ones, God uses these fiery trials for his divine purposes. If you are insulted for the name of Jesus Christ, you are blessed. Let me say that again. If you are insulted for the name of Jesus Christ, you are blessed. Because the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. Strange as it may sound, it is God's way. It is His holy will. And it is a great blessing, a great blessing to be counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, the worthy one. The worthy one is now in heaven. And now you are the worthy ones, for you suffer until He brings you into His kingdom. Yes, we all remember that Jesus Himself was persecuted. Even He Himself said that He would be persecuted, that He would be nailed to a cross, and that He would be persecuted by His own people. Yet Jesus tells us, even though we are persecuted, He is always with us. He will never leave or forsake us. Last week you heard that He's called you an orphan, and He will not leave His orphans. He will come to you. And when He comes to you, He will announce to you, even in your suffering, that He is with you and that you are not to fear the world, for He has overcome the world. Dear ones, we now, this seventh Sunday of Easter, we now leave the season of Easter, and next Sunday we'll move into the season of Pentecost. And you are reminded once again that you will be under pressure from the world. You will be under pressure from your own sinful flesh. And yes, the devil, he will continue to roar at you, wanting you to renounce your faith, wanting you to renounce your Lord and Savior. As Stephen was persecuted, also the disciples were persecuted. The early church fathers were persecuted, and the early church was persecuted. The Lutheran reformers were persecuted, and also the other reformers were persecuted. And Christians today, that's you and that's me. We are in the crosshairs of Satan. He wants us to renounce God. He wants us to buckle. He wants us to fold. He wants us to die spiritually. Persecution, trials, sufferings will not end in this life until the day that your Lord and Savior comes for you. And when He comes for you, it may be today, it may be tomorrow, it may be next month or next year. We don't know when He's returning. Therefore, Peter tells us to humble ourselves, to stand firm, to be ready, to be prepared. For when your Savior returns, we know what will happen. We will stand before Him. And if He determines and if He judges that we are of the world, we will not be in His kingdom. But if He determines that we are in the world and not of the world, He will say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest prepared for you before the foundation of the world." And all those who have persecuted you, all those who have hated you, all those who have made fun of you, they will also stand before the King. And the Lord will say to them, "I don't know you." And they will be cast into the lake of fire, which was prepared for the devil and all his evil angels. That's the judgment of hell. And then they, all those who made fun of you, all those who mocked you, all those who persecuted you, they will suffer. And they will suffer forever and ever in eternal condemnation. My dear brothers and sisters, we will not be left to stand on our own. We have a champion. Yes, we have a valiant one, who is Jesus Christ. He has taken the field for us. We cannot stand against the Satan by ourselves. Rather, it is Jesus who stands with us and defends us against all his lies and against all of his temptations. He will never, ever abandon you. He is your Lord. He is your God, full of grace and truth. And He is your way, the one who will carry you into His kingdom, into the very presence of your Father in heaven. He is the one. He is the one who will restore you, confirm you, strengthen you, and establish you. Your glorious suffering is but for a little while. Yes, it's but for a little while. And then the result is a glorious everlasting life, a glorious life with Jesus Christ in His kingdom, in our heavenly home, with your Lord and Savior forever and ever. Stand firm, humble yourself, know and believe what Jesus has said, and He will strengthen you. Yes, He will confirm you. He will restore you. He will establish you. And dear ones, He is coming for you, and He has already come. And yet the church still proclaims, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly indeed. Amen." Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.